House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is Friday, May 22nd. We're going to jump out of order just a little bit. First item on the agenda today is we're going to do Senate Bill 636 and Senate Bill 241, then we'll go back to the schedule. First item is open a public hearing on Senate Bill 636A.
Senate Bill 636 is related to trademark law. It updates Oregon's law related to trademarks, service marks, and trade names. It brings Oregon statutes in line with federal law and 2007 revisions to the Model State Trademark Bill. This bill is the subject of a work group comprised of Oregon intellectual property attorneys, law professors, along with representatives from the Secretary of State and the Department of Justice.
Okay, thank you. Peter Schroeckel, Tina Beatty-Walters, and Jim Craven, please. Okay. Please identify yourself for the record.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Tina Beatty-Walters. I'm an attorney in private practice at Stoll Byrne in Portland. I've litigated trademark matters in my practice and also regularly give advice and counsel to mostly small businesses on trademark matters. My firm is a member of the International Trademark Association, and I am a member of the Model State Trademark Bill, INTA's Model State Trademark Bill, INTA's International Trademark Association. It is on behalf of INTA that I appear before you today in support of Senate Bill 636. So I've submitted my own testimony in support of the bill, as well as the written testimony of Ann Glazer, who is my colleague from Stoll Reeves, who is sorry that she couldn't be here today. My intent today is to try to summarize both my testimony, my written testimony, as well as Ann Glazer's written testimony. And my intent is to cover really the following three topics. What is Senate Bill 636 and how did we get here? Who supports it? And how would it change Oregon's trademark law? I'll start out with the first. What is Senate Bill 636? How do we get here? Senate Bill 636 is really the process or the product of two thorough vetting processes. The first is based on the 2007 INTA promulgated Model State Trademark Bill. INTA is a worldwide membership organization dedicated to the support and advancement of trademarks. Oregon's current trademark statute is based on the INTA promulgated 1949 version of the Model State Trademark Bill. There are about 30 states that have adopted the more modern versions of the model bill, that being the 2007 version or the 1996 version, including all of our neighbors, California, Idaho, and Washington. The second is that Senate Bill 636 is the product of a thorough review process by a working group of Oregon attorneys and trademark professionals. The Oregon State Bar helped us to put together a working group of 15 attorneys and trademark professionals representing a diverse range of interests. And the working group included a member, a representative from the Secretary of State's office, as well as a representative from the Department of Justice. The working group met over many months to analyze the provisions of the 2007 model bill, recommended and made some changes, mostly at the request of the Secretary of State's office. And that was the bill that was submitted, the changed recommended by the model or by the working group bill that was submitted to Legislative Council and that appears before you today is Senate Bill 636. As for the second topic, who supports Senate Bill 636? Attached to my testimony and Ms. Glazer's testimony are letters of support from a variety of businesses, including Intel, Les Schwab, Stash T, Norm Thompson, Pravia Wine and Events, and Kakadu Traders. I can tell you also that Columbia Sportswear supports the bill. Also submitted to my testimony and behind tab two is a letter of support from a Portland attorney named Mike Heilbronner. Mike is an adjunct professor of trademark law at Lewis and Clark Law School. He also is in private practice right now and gives advice to mostly small business clients. Formerly, he was in-house trademark counsel for Adidas America. He supports the bill. I'm not aware of any opposition to this bill. As for how Senate Bill 636 would change Oregon trademark law, first of all, Senate Bill 636 would help harmonize federal and state trademark law. The model bill incorporates some of the language of the federal Lanham Act, which is the federal statute that governs trademark law. And Senate Bill 636 directs courts to treat federal case law as persuasive authority when interpreting state law. So I want to touch on just the three major areas of state trademark law that Senate Bill 636 would affect. Those are registration, infringement actions, and dilution actions. As for registration, state trademark registrations are issued by the Secretary of State. Senate Bill 636 will not significantly change registration practice in Oregon, but it will make some clarifications. Among other things, it will clarify that the Secretary of State is not required to examine applications. And we have a representative from the Secretary of State's office here, so I won't belabor other changes to the registration provisions. The second major topic that Senate Bill 636 would affect is infringement actions. Senate Bill 636 removes the statutory minimum damages provision of $10,000, but it provides a right to attorney fees for prevailing plaintiffs in cases of bad faith or knowing infringement or under other appropriate circumstances. Importantly, Senate Bill 636 also adds a fair use defense that is intended to protect free speech rights to use descriptive terms descriptively and refer to trademarked goods or the trademark owner, such as in cases of comparative advertising. The third major area that Senate Bill 636 would affect in trademark law is dilution cause of action. This is the area of the greatest contemplated change to Oregon law. Generally, dilution is understood to mean use of a famous mark in such a way that impairs its distinctiveness. Oregon law does currently contain a provision allowing injunctive relief for dilution of the distinctive quality of a mark. The problem with the Oregon law right now is that there's no suggestion that the mark needs to be famous, and there's no definition of distinction of the dilution of this distinctive quality. It is therefore really unclear what the provision means and how it would apply. The changes to Senate Bill 636, the changes to Oregon law that Senate Bill 636 would bring would clarify and bring Oregon law into line with federal law on dilution principles and the laws of other states. It defines dilution, it lists the relevant factors for finding dilution, and it makes the dilution remedy available only for famous marks, which is also defined in the statute. So the changes contemplated to Oregon law by Senate Bill 636 are a clear improvement that would bring Oregon law in line with the law of most other states as well as the federal law. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'd be happy to try to answer questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Garrett,
thank
please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there any policy decisions we should be aware of where the working group made a conscious decision not to follow a new development in federal law or trademark law generally? Anything, any area or multiple areas where a policy decision was made not to conform with modern developments? And as a related question, I note in your testimony that there were a few places where we did not follow the Model Act. Could you elaborate on what those were?
I believe the most significant ones related to the Secretary of State's practices. Mostly what the changes that were recommended and made to the model bill were intended to reflect the Secretary of State's current practices. I actually don't, off the top of my head, know exactly which changes those are, but that was the majority. Those are the majority of the changes that were made. They were fairly minor changes, and I'm not aware of anything significant that was made, other changes other than those.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Peter Threlko. I'm the director of the Corporation Division for the Secretary of State's office, and I'm here to speak with you in support of Senate Bill 636. The state trademark filings, our office handles the registration. It's a small but important program for our office. We have about a little over 6,000 active trademark registrations, and we receive about 400 registrations a year. These are voluntary registrations, but we feel they serve a useful purpose in establishing intellectual property rights for many of Oregon's businesses. We've worked very closely with proponents of the bill. A lot of our intent was to try to minimize the costs of implementing this bill, and I believe we were very successful in that we will have no fiscal impact to the bill, so we'll be able to absorb the changes, and we're very supportive of the overall concept of the bill. We believe it's a good step forward for Oregon. To speak a little bit to Representative Garrett's question, the federal trademark law requires, I believe, multiple copies or facsimiles of an item. So if somebody were to trademark an image on a T-shirt, they would actually have to submit a copy of the image, as well as they'd have to submit the T-shirt. So our current practices are not to receive durable physical items. We really don't see that there's a great value in the Secretary storing and warehousing T-shirts, parkas, jackets, items of clothing, copies of software, that sort of thing. It doesn't really, in our estimation, doesn't add a great deal of value to the program. What we had requested was that we just rely on a single facsimile of whatever the or description of what's being marked or trademarked. With that, that includes my testimony. I would encourage you to support Senate Bill 636.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For either one of the attorneys, does this address counterfeiting too? Does that come under infringement of?
Chair Barker, Representative Wisnant, this does not address counterfeiting. That's a separate concern, and this model bill does not affect that.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up, please.
But you're misusing the trademark.
I'm sorry.
You're misusing the trademark when you're counterfeiting that trademark.
Well, I believe there are separate remedies and there's a separate statute for counterfeiting, and there, I think, are some criminal provisions there. And this is a separate statute, and so that is dealt with separately. There actually is, INTA has a model counterfeiting bill, I believe, and is working to reform some of the state counterfeit laws, but that is a separate effort and is not touched by Senate Bill 636.
Mr. Chair, do you know if we're going to see that bill?
Okay.
Thank you.
Further questions? Okay, thank you. Jim, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Craven representing Tech America, the successor organization to what many of you know in the past is AEA. I have to give that speech every time I testify this session, but I'm almost done. We support this bill. Our largest member in Oregon, Intel, is a strong supporter of your adoption, and so we urge you to move forward. I believe it passed unanimously in the Senate. And unlike normal closing line, I'd be horrified if you asked me any questions. So with that, I support the bill, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. I think this is your first visit before judiciary this session.
Pardon me?
I think this is your first visit in judiciary this session.
It may be, Mr. Chair. That's why I have to give the little announcement about my new name. So.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Craven, who doesn't want any questions? Okay. Thank you, panel.
Yes.
Okay. We're ready. Okay. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 636A. Open a work session on Senate Bill 636A.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I move Senate Bill 636 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill 636A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any questions? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Yes.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Shields.
Excused.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Vice Chair Stiegler.
Excused.
Vice Chair Whitman.
Aye.
Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Barton, would you carry that for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 241A.
Chair and members, we move from trademark law to foreclosure law. Senate Bill 241A clarifies the process by which purchasers may take possession of property after foreclosure sales and similar events.
Thank you.
You have in your packet dash A5 and A6 amendments. The A5 amendments will take out Section 1. It's on track to conflict with a bill in consumer protection. Section 1 clarifies existing law for non-judicial trust deed sales, which is your basic home foreclosure when the property reverts to the bank. Sections 2 and 3 relate to use of residential...
A5 and 6.
Yes, do you have A5 and A6 in your packets?
Sorry, I got the wrong...
And A5 would take out Section 1 for the conflict. A6 is a substantive change that the sponsors are proposing. And with that, I think the sponsor can provide the details for you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wade, please.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker and members of the committee. My name is Patrick Wade. I'm an attorney practicing in Eugene. I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon State Bar Debtor-Creditor Section, which is the sponsor of this bill. As noted by counsel, this bill is designed to clarify a few points of under existing law. Section 1 of the bill designed to clarify some of the procedures and timing regarding acquisition of possession of the property after a foreclosure sale was conducted under the trustee statute. Section 2 of the bill is designed to make the commonly known forcible entry and detainer or eviction proceeding available in situations similar to a non-judicial trust deed foreclosure sale. These are situations involving either a judicial foreclosure sale or the tender of a deed in lieu of foreclosure or a certain contract, land sale contract termination cases. Finally, the third section of the bill addresses some procedural and issues regarding the actual conduct of the FED procedures applicable to evictions following a foreclosure or the other situations mentioned in Section 2. Also, as mentioned by counsel, Senate Bill 952A, which is currently under consideration in another committee, contains provisions which are slightly different than this bill. The dash 5 amendments, which are part of your package, are intended to resolve the conflict between the two bills in the event that Senate Bill 952 does pass. And then with regard to dash 6 amendments before you, those are proposed just to remove one part of the bill, which contains some provisions which actually would be slightly problematic, as was pointed out recently. And those are proposed in the event that
they haven't talked to me.
952 does not pass. I'd be happy to entertain questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Wade. Committee, this is the bill. We're kind of waiting for the companion bill to come over. So we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 241A.
Mr. Chair? Yes, sorry, may I ask you, 241 is waiting for a companion bill?
Senator Bonamici's asked me not to move that bill until the other bill has passed.
That's correct, sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, we didn't. We didn't get a carrier. With Barton for 636.
So you're asking?
Yeah, you just need to carry that one, just make sure.
Okay, I see. So until...
Carry it over.
Okay. And we'll be carrying over Senate Bill 241A till the 27th. Okay, open.
This one was one we just heard.
Yeah. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 208A.
Senate Bill 208A provides that a person convicted of fleeing or attempting to flee a police officer under ORS 811-540 shall have the driver's license suspended for 3 years. No revenue impact, minimal fiscal, no statement.
No, sir. No testimony. Okay. Take a quick look at that.
As just a brief background, the Senate passed 245, and what that did was elevate fleeing or attempting to elude a police officer to a level 7 on the sentencing grid when the conduct demonstrated extreme indifference to the value of human life. This license suspension was intended to go forth with that, but the relating clause was too narrow, so it's now a separate bill.
Okay, is there
Mr.
Any?
Chair?
Yes.
For counsel, does it? I'm assuming we're talking about fleeing or attempting to flee in a vehicle, not by foot. Or is it not? Does it?
Correct.
Okay.
And I think everybody's pretty much aware of the injuries in those. How often those end up in fatalities or serious injuries to innocent parties? Is there any discussion about that? Close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 208A.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I move Senate Bill 208 is amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnat moves Senate Bill 208 to the floor of a due pass. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Excused.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stiegler?
Excused.
Vice Chair Wisnat?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries.
More consent.
Representative Olson, would you carry that for
I
us,
will.
Please? Thank you. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 603A.
Senate Bill 603A clarifies the definition of readily accessible for purposes of unlawful possession of a firearm. It clarifies that a person may transport a firearm in a vehicle that does not have a trunk, so long as the firearm is in a locked box. Provides that it's an affirmative offense to a charge violating ORS 166-250 if a person has been granted relief from the prohibition on owning a firearm. You have an A4 amendment in front of you, and what that does is provide that rather than simply having the firearm in the vehicle in a locked box, it could also be in a locked center console or glove compartment if that vehicle does not have a trunk.
Okay, thank you. Kevin Sterrett, Rod Harder, and Andrea Meyer, please. No? Okay. No, Andrea Meyer. She must have signed up the wrong paper. Okay.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. I'm Kevin Sterrett with the Oregon Firearms Federation.
This is a clarification that we requested because in Oregon law there is no definition for the term readily accessible for the purposes of transporting a handgun in a vehicle. And now with modern car design, where 20 years ago everybody understood what a trunk was, now so many cars don't have conventional trunks, we were looking for something so that when we could advise people what a safe or what a legal way to transport a handgun was. The bill, the A. Engross bill that you have in front of you, we thought the definition still left a little to be desired because it still counted on the word trunk. And in a car like a Prius, you have a latch in the back of the car, but you can still reach behind there and where's the trunk on a Mini Cooper, et cetera. So we worked with Senator Prezansky, came up with the Dash 4 amendments, which we think really give a very clear, understandable definition so that if someone's traveling through the state, they know exactly what's legal and illegal. And the bill also addresses a couple of other anomalies in Oregon law, which we've discussed in this committee a few times, contradictions in relief from prohibition. And so we think it's a great bill. It's non-controversial, and we're urging your support for it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, I'm Rod Harder, the Oregon consultant for the National Rifle Association. We're also in support of Senate Bill 603. Interestingly, this is about the third time over 20-some years we have described what's accessible in a vehicle. As I read the bill and the amendment there too, and I want to put on the record that this bill has no effect whatsoever on current CHL holders and their ability to carry within the vehicle, nor does it have any effect on long guns. And with that, I'll conclude my testimony, and thank you.
Okay, thank you. And, Mr. Starr, I want to thank you for working on this, trying to get that thing at the very end here.
Thank
the
you.
Amendments that make that, made it a good bill. Okay, and okay, thank you very much.
You can adopt the A4, and I still need to get a fiscal on it.
Okay. Move, close the public hearing, open a work session on Senate Bill 603A.
Mr. Chair, I move the dashboards in the Senate Bill 603A.
Representative Wisnab moves the dashboards in the Senate Bill 603A. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We need to wait for the fiscal before we can move the bill. So
carry it over to 527.
Carry it over to 527. Open a work session on Senate Bill 570A.
570A requires scrap metal business to create and maintain certain records pertaining to the purchase and transfer of metal property. I think all members are aware of this bill and familiar with what it does, so I won't read the remaining paragraph. But in any event, it has no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact. And you do at this point have, I believe, A6 and A7 amendments in front of you.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Representative Barton and I, we've worked a little bit with the dash 6 and 7, and actually I think there's some folks here that could shed a little bit more light on both of those for you. Jeff Stone might be one of those that would do that, and as well as Kevin Campbell.
Okay, that'd be fine. This would be
first. I got the sixes.
Yeah, I don't have them.
I don't have the sixes. I got the sevens.
I got the sevens, not the sixes.
You have the dash sixes to show. Okay, please go ahead, Mr. Campbell.
Chair Barker and members of the committee, for the record, Kevin Campbell here on behalf of the Associated Oregon Loggers. And I think before the committee last time, the dash fives were offered. The dash fives added both forestry and logging equipment to the list of basically impacted industries when it comes to metal theft. You heard testimony from both me and then members of some of the other wood products industry representatives as well. And I think that the dash fives were then put into the dash sixes, although I haven't seen them yet. So our request is to adopt the dash sixes and I believe the dash sevens as well. And Jeff Stone can probably add to that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stone.
Mr. Chair, Jeff Stone, Oregon Association of Nurseries. Nothing much more to add. The dash sixes are largely a technical amendment to add the forestry industry and the logging industry. The dash sevens, after consultation with Representative Olson and others, is about how you deal with burnt or stripped wire and to make sure that the bill actually does what you want it to do. There was a little bit of an inexact description of it in the bill as it was, so we support both amendments, Mr. Chair, and urge your aye vote.
Okay, thank you.
Additionally, Mr. Chair, with the dash sixes, there's a portion that, if you look on page 4 of the bill, on Senate Bill 570, Section 2, there was a little bit of confusion as to line 10, has according to information provided by a peace officer. And having had this discussion with Senator Przanski about this, it made more sense to identify that information as written or electronically received for the industry.
Any questions from the panel? Thank you very much. We are in work session. Okay, we're in work session.
Hey, Mr. Chair.
Discussion, Representative Wisnab.
I move the dash sixes and the dash seven. The dash six and the dash seven in the Senate Bill 570.
Okay, first, we have a motion to move the to adopt the dash six amendments. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have a motion to adopt the dash seven amendments. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, we have to wait for the fiscal with the amendment, so we'll carry that over to 527. Close the work session. Open a work session on Senate Bill 299.
Senate Bill 299 allows the court to remove all domestic animals from a residence of a person who's been convicted of unlawfully possessing domestic animals, add sexual assault and dog fighting offenses to classes that bar possession of domestic animal for 5 years after conviction. This has no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact, no amendment. And I'm sorry, this was first heard back on May 6th. This is the one we can add the equine.
So there's no amendment?
Yes, I'm sorry. The amendment language is actually based on the original bill, so I apologize. This is all up to date and current, but there's no additional amendment to it.
No fiscal.
It's a minimal fiscal with no statement issued.
Okay.
You're going to recommend this, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I recommend Senate Bill 299 be passed the floor and do pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill 299A as to the floor with the due pass.
Carrier. That's about as weak.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative
Shields. Aye. Representative Smith.
Vice Chair
Siegler.
Excused. Vice Chair
Wisnant.
Aye.
Chair Barker.
Aye.
Representative
Shields,
will
you carry it? Yes, I will. Yeah.
Decided,
Joe. Yeah. Hey, we heard it. Opening work session on Senate Bill 794A.
794A was first heard on May 19th. Changes the way attorney's fees are awarded in condemnation proceedings. We had a
-4
amendment. Yes, pardon me. We heard the -3s. We got the -4 just in time. There was a technical fix. There was no change. And we now have a no revenue and no fiscal impact on this.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Everything's in it.
Yeah.
So we already put everything in.
Yes.
Okay. Ready for a motion. Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I move Senate Bill 794 is amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill 794 as amended to the floor of a due pass. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Shields.
Excused.
Representative Smith.
Representative
Smith.
Aye.
Vice Chair Siegler.
Excused.
Vice Chair Wisnant.
Aye.
Chair Barker.
Aye. So Garrett, would you carry that for us, please?
Yeah, happy to.
Thank you.
Three and four is always in the amendment.
Threes and fours are just
there. We had the threes, and then at the last minute, the fours showed up. They're the same thing with the exception of one comma.
So the fours in
there. The fours are what we adopted last time.
Okay. Open a work session on Senate Bill 874A.
Senate Bill 874A, we heard on the 19th, updates Oregon's version of the Americans with Disabilities Act. This has no revenue and no fiscal impact, and no amendment.
Okay, is there any discussion about that? But we kind of talked that one over when it was here. Ready for a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I move Senate Bill 874 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill 874 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
No.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
No.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Excused.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siegler?
Yeah, courtesy, yes.
Excused.
Vice Chair Wisnant?
Courtesy, yes, Mr. Chair.
Chair Barker?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you for the courtesy. I also want to close that. I'm going to reopen Senate Bill 241A briefly to announce that that's carried over to 527. Any further business before the committee today? Meeting adjourned.